Among the blessings for which I give God praise is the blessing of the people of this congregation and your steadfastness over the years, especially in times of great disappointment and discouragement. And I don't mind telling you that I often shared in those feelings of disappointment and discouragement. But God has showed us that His purposes are always best. And when I think of things that we were contemplating trying to do, and then I think of this place, a brand new facility that we could design from the beginning to suit our needs, this is God's mercy to us, even in days when we wonder what was going to happen. So I give God thanks for you folks, and I trust the Lord will continue to bless you and encourage you. One of the great privileges that I have is to see people born into this church, grow up in this church, and come to the place of assuming their own responsibilities as adults in the household of God. So it is a great blessing from the Lord. The language of sacrifice is the language of the epistle to the Hebrews. Again and again, we confront this theme. It is an appeal to the system of worship that the people of God knew and in which they participated for centuries in the Old Testament. It was worship built upon sacrifice. So that every time they thought about worship, every time they thought about exalting God, it was always in that context of bringing a sacrifice. When we think of the worship of God in this service and the worship of God in all the services of the church, we would do well to think of it in those terms. We are coming to do sacrifice unto God. In Hebrews 13:15, we find reference to the sacrifice of praise. And in the Old Testament, there are counterparts to this expression, particularly in the book of Leviticus, where there are references to thank offerings, which themselves involve sacrifice. The sacrifice of an animal from the person's property, from his possessions, in order to give thanks to God. That is what he had to do. He had to present this animal and suffer the death of that animal in order to worship God. So when we read of the sacrifice of praise here in verse 15, and we think of the way in which it is defined here, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name, and we think of the statement at the end of the following verse that with these sacrifices God is well pleased, then it behooves us to understand that thanksgiving is viewed as a sacrifice. And I want this evening, just in a few moments' time, to deal with the theme of thanksgiving's requirements. When we speak about thanksgiving as a sacrifice, that expression suggests to us some requirements. What must you have in order to engage in thanksgiving? In order to give the sacrifice of praise, what elements are essential in order for you truly to thank God? Thanksgiving in the Scriptures is not an option. It is a command. The Scriptures exhort you to be thankful. To be thankful. So what are the things that are essential? Well, there's a list so long we could take all this night and all the next day to go through it. But let me just highlight a few things for you that are essential in order for you to be thankful. First is the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. And when I speak of the knowledge of God, I want to speak in a more specific way than in the general and vague way in which so many speak of Him. I want to speak of Him in terms of His attributes. We cannot truly be thankful to God unless we come to reflect upon who He is. And I don't have the time really to engage in a theological discourse. But I want you to think about the things that make God who He is. We, in the Sunday school a few weeks ago, you were studying question number 4 in the Catechism. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, and so on. These are the attributes of God. These make God who He is. And it is only as we take that knowledge upon ourselves, as we reflect upon it, as we meditate upon who God is, that we are brought to the place of being thankful to Him. Not only His attributes, but His decrees, the things that He has set forth in the Catechism, they are defined as creation and providence. His decrees are executed in His works of creation and providence. But His decrees encompass everything about our lives. He has decreed whatsoever comes to pass. Think of His accomplishments. To know God is to know Him in the midst of His action. We read that in Psalm 105. Make mention of His mighty works. Make mention of His mighty deeds, His accomplishments in creation, His accomplishments in the great flood, the devastation that remade the world, His accomplishments in redemption. Take knowledge of His grace and His love and His mercy. Is it not something that ought to make us thankful that God has not ever dealt with us as we have deserved? If we had received what we had deserved, there's not one of us would be sitting here. This building would not be here. But God has not dealt with us as we have deserved. He has remembered mercy. Today and tomorrow, people will be fond of talking about Turkey Day. They will be fond of talking about some vague notion of giving thanks, but they don't know to whom. Yet you must know God if you are to be truly thankful. If you are to bring the sacrifice, you must know God. Was that not true in the Old Testament? In order for the people to bring sacrifice, what did they have to know? They had to know the God to whom they were coming. So the knowledge of God is essential for thanksgiving. But let me also say that the knowledge of self is essential for thanksgiving. And let me be very specific as to what I mean by that. You have to know what you are. If you have to know who God is, you have to know what you are. And that is guilty in Adam. All have sinned in Adam. We may say all sinned in Adam. When Adam sinned, you sinned. I sinned. And so before we ever did one thing, before we ever took one breath in this world, we were guilty before God. We were born guilty. Not innocent, but guilty. And it requires us to know that if we are to be truly thankful. Because those who think more highly of themselves than they ought to think will not be thankful. They will be instead thinking about what they deserve to have what they deserve to receive. But not only do you know what you are in that sense, but you know that you are finite in your outlook. You are limited. Even the person with the most knowledge that it would be possible to have, and that was Adam. Adam knew more than anyone after him has ever known. You think of that. You think of people who today think that they know a lot. They know nothing compared to what Adam knew. But even with all his knowledge, Adam was a creature. He was finite. Adam was limited. He had a beginning. And even though the promise of eternal life was there, if he had obeyed God, he would never be God. He would never be eternal. He would never be infinite. And when we think about this limitation that is upon us, we have to reflect upon the fact that we are not able to act, we are not able to do anything apart from God's enabling grace. That ought to drive us to thankfulness. We can't do anything for God. We can't do anything in God's work. We can't lift a finger to advance God's cause apart from His enabling grace. That is because of what we are. We must know God. We must know ourselves. But thirdly, I would say it is essential when we come to Thanksgiving that we surrender self. The language of sacrifice is the language of giving things over. Here comes the man with the peace offering. That's the thank offering. He comes with his lamb, with his goat, whatever the animal, maybe even two little doves, two little birds, that's all he can afford. He comes with those things. They have cost him something. He has fed them. He has watered them. He has tended to them. He has raised them. Now he brings them to give them over to God. And that is a picture of what Thanksgiving is about. One of the reasons that I ask you to think of one thing for which you could give God thanks is because that involves an element of surrender. Maybe uncomfortable. But Thanksgiving is designed to be uncomfortable. It's hard on the pride. It's hard to admit that we can't provide any of this for ourselves. We like to delude ourselves that we can do this or that. And when we look around us at this facility here, it would be easy to delude ourselves that while we were able, we worked together with others on designing the place and we made all these decisions. As Mr. Gallagher said at the dedication, there's just hundreds of decisions that have to be made. And it would be easy to think, you know, well, we did this and we did this and we did this. But the reality is, apart from God's wisdom, we had nothing. To be thankful, we come to leave our pride behind. And to surrender self not only requires leaving pride behind, it requires submitting to God's purpose. This is where Thanksgiving becomes difficult for a lot of people. Oh, they like the romantic notion, the warm notion of being, you know, being thankful. Oh yes, I'm thankful. They don't know who they should thank or for what they should give thanks, but you know, they're thankful. It's popular this time of the year to say those things. But to be truly thankful is to say, whatever I am is the result of God's grace, and I give it over to God. And the last thing I would submit to you this evening is the reliance on God alone. That's what Thanksgiving is about. When you think about the pilgrims, I was reading there from Bradford's journal. By the way, I recommend that to you. If you have never read Bradford's journal of Plymouth Plantation, you ought to read it. It is most instructive. There are some aspects of it in which you can get bogged down. There's a lot of detail, but I'm glad he wrote those things down. But it's very instructive to see that there were people there who understood that they had to trust God. The ships from England didn't often come. So they had to look to the Lord. And by the Lord's grace and enablement, they were able to go around and to provide what they needed. But in a larger sense, we cannot thank God here tonight, except we rely upon Him alone. We cannot give God thanks tomorrow, except we come to recognize truly that all things that we have come from Him. That every good gift cometh down from above, as we read in James. Cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift. I trust you'll take the time to read the presidential proclamation I included in your bulletin for this evening. But in particular, I want you to notice one statement. A statement that begins with the second sentence in the first paragraph. This devout and public confession of the constant dependence of man upon the divine favor for all the good gifts of life and health and peace and happiness, so early in our history made the habit of our people, finds in the survey of the past year new grounds for its joyful and grateful manifestation. Those are the words of President Hayes in 1877. Notice in the fourth paragraph, under a sense of these infinite obligations to the great ruler of times and seasons and events, let us humbly ascribe it to our own faults and frailties, if in any degree that perfect concord and happiness, peace and justice, which such mercy should diffuse through the hearts and lives of our people, do not altogether and always and everywhere prevail. Let us with one spirit and with one voice lift up praise and thanksgiving to God for His manifold goodness to our land, His manifest care for our nation. I put that proclamation in the program to show you that there have been leaders of our country in the past who understood this great truth, that we could not truly be thankful without the reliance upon God alone, to acknowledge that all these mercies are ours because of Him. I trust that as we come to Thanksgiving Day, we will know what it is truly to engage in the sacrifice of thanksgiving. To know God, to know ourselves, to surrender ourselves to God's service, to rely upon Him alone for every blessing that we need. May God bless you and give you a wonderful day on Thanksgiving Day.